The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
With so many people living longer, the fear of outliving your money becomes a reality for many of us. Will I be a financial burden? Will I outlive my money? How will I be remembered? My name is Neil Himmelstein, president of Main Street Planning Group. Please contact me by visiting mainstreetplanninggroup.com. That's mainstreetplanninggroup.com, or call 631-647-4694. I will introduce you to strategies that will guarantee you will not outlive your money, that can guarantee you will not be a burden on your loved ones. Through a collaborative approach, we will uncover solutions that offer tax-efficient strategies, lifetime income, and legacy planning. Choice, organization, direction, and education. That is the code we stand behind. Contact mainstreetplanninggroup.com. That's mainstreetplanninggroup.com, or call 631-647-4694. And listen to me every Friday at 3 p.m. as I host the Main Street Code for Financial Success right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Main Street Code for Your Financial Success. I'm your host, Neil Himmelstein, and you can reach me at 631-647-4694 or themainstreetcode.com. When we talk about our code, we talk about choice, organization, direction, and education. And we work with hundreds of advisors across the United States for their insurance questions, whether it be CPAs, attorneys, or other financial professionals that use me as a resource and a back office for them to help them. And we help many, many clients that need our assistance in insurance needs. And we always talk about putting together a team of financial professionals, that you should have the best attorney, the best CPA, the best insurance guy, the best investment guy, but they all need to be working in the same path. And if you don't have a team, we can help put one together for you today. And that's what we do. So we encourage you to reach out to us to help you do that. And today we're very fortunate to have, as my guest, Jennifer Kona from Kona Law. Jennifer?
Good morning, Neil. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be with you. You are such a superstar in your field, and I'm really delighted to be in your company.
Oh, stop. You're kidding. Jennifer, by the way, her firm was named Long Island Business News Elder Law Firm of the Year, as well as Estate and Trust Firm of the Year.
Yep, as well as best overall law firm. We've been rated the number one elder law firm by Long Island Business News for 8 consecutive years.
And holy cow.
Yep, we're really, really proud of that.
And there's a reason why. And it starts with Jennifer and her team. And I'm going to tell you the difference between Jennifer and her team, what I found, than any other law firm. We do business with a lot of different law firms. And you've heard me with a lot of different estate attorneys and CPAs on the air. And elder care starts with the word care. And you go into their office and you realize they have offices. It's in Melville, right? And
correct.
Now in Port Jefferson, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. They're expanding and growing. And when you go in their office, it's not a transaction. It's a caregiving. It's what are your needs are. They sit and listen to you. And one of the things that they do is that they even put together a book to help you organize your assets. I love that book, by the way. I just used it.
Oh, that's great. You know what? That's called their legacy logbook. And that's to help all of our clients get their important information in one place, including bank accounts, life insurance, annuities, IRAs, and importantly, passwords to all of their online accounts, because spouses don't have that information, children don't have that information, also where the bills are, what bills are paid online, what bills come in the mail monthly, things like that, so that if one spouse falls ill, the other can step in and take that over. We had sort of a skeleton idea of that at one point, and then I took that and I went down to my parents in Florida, and I did the whole thing with my dad, because my mom has no idea what the assets are and what she would do if anything happened to my dad. So from the skeleton idea of it, we made this whole book out of it by me going through that with my parents.
Fantastic.
And that kind of underscores what you were saying before. We treat every single client like they're our own parents, and we analyze every single case with, you know, the difficult cases with what would I do if this were my mom or dad? And that's how we decide how to proceed. You know, do we go this way or that way? Do we want to push the envelope a little bit if it's a tricky case? Well, would I do that for my mom or dad? Yay or nay? That's how we figure out what to do. That's what guides us for sure.
Right.
And also, if I may, in our office, we have a caregiver resource center. So people come in to see us and they need a lot more than just legal services. It's not just elder law, because we impact where a person might choose to live. How are they going to pay for that? How are they going to pay for nursing home, assisted living, adult daycare, whether they have Alzheimer's or something else along those lines? So because we're touching on all these other things, long-term care insurance, things like that, we have this caregiver resource center. People can come in throughout the day, the resource center is open to the public, and get information on any of those things. And there's no pressure because there's no salesperson in there. There's no person encouraging them to look at this assisted living over another or this home care agency over another. They can just gather information and decide what to do with it, and then take that and go out in the field and get other help. But at least it's a place to start, and they can ask one of our elder law attorneys questions along the way. We are offering free consultations right now because of COVID. We don't want there to be any barriers to people getting help. So we are on hand. And we have found that just really a great resource, and people so appreciate that because they just don't know where to start when mom or dad needs care, or a sibling, or whoever it may be, grandma, whoever in the family, they don't know where to start and they're completely overwhelmed. We've seen that so many times.
Right. And unlike other firms that maintain, there's a couple things that you need to know. So they're not transactional, and that makes the whole thing different. You know, people think that they're going to get a transaction done, to get a will done. It's more than a transaction. I'll tell you where it's important when you're doing care or any type of planning. They have all your beneficiary information, your sister's information, your brother's information. Who do you call once? We just had a situation that with their law firm, one of our listeners had just passed away. And prior to her passing away, she went into hospice and no one had power of attorney over her assets. So tell me, just from you knowing that, what kind of problems did that create?
Oh my gosh, that creates so many problems when no one can step up and help out. So you're either looking at trying to do a guardianship at that point, but if someone's going into hospice or is in hospice, you're most likely not going to have time to get that to fruition. So then in the estate context, you're looking at the will being admitted to probate, an executor being, well, you said that the will was never completed.
So the will was never completed, but it wasn't just that. She had bank accounts and checking accounts, and she had condo fees. She had bills to pay. Who's going to pay those bills?
No one can pay those bills unless someone else is joint on an account. If there's no power of attorney, all that comes to a screeching halt if there's no one to step up.
Right. And now she's passed away. And luckily, I was able to do some work with her. And, you know, we did some annuity work with her. And what she was able to do with the annuities, at least, is we were able to dictate they bypass a will because the beneficiaries on annuities, like life insurance, go by contract, not by will. So it doesn't even go to the will, doesn't even go to probate. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what probate is. Can you tell me what probate is and what happens and why? What happens in probate?
Sure. So probate is really just, the word means proving the will. It's the process of admitting a will to the surrogate's court to make sure that that will is valid. It wasn't subject to duress, undue influence, things like that, where someone would have signed a will that doesn't match with their wishes. If it does, which most people's do, probate is not a scary process. It doesn't take long. The estate has to be open in the probate's court for 7 months, and that's to allow creditors to put in for any fees that may be due to them. But if it's not a contested proceeding, then the monies can be dispersed out after that point in time, pursuant to that person's wishes as spelled out in the will, and that would be the end of the story. So it's not a big deal. What people get scared about is that that doesn't make the news, of course. What makes the news is the scary cases where wills are hung up in probate for a long period of time because people are fighting. That's certainly much more newsworthy. What you do want to pay attention to is if you own property in other states, you don't want to have probate in two jurisdictions. For example, if you own property in Florida, you don't want to have a New York probate proceeding and a Florida probate proceeding. Wow. So you want to do things like think about putting the Florida property in trust, for example. That's just one example. This is not one size fits all.
And that's why you need professionals. It's absolutely not one size fits all. And there's nothing one size fits all.
No, nothing.
And that's why you need to work with professionals. You're listening to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. I can be reached at 631-647-4694. And if you'd like to speak to Jennifer Kona, her number is
631-390-5000.
Right. And we're going to be right back. And what a great discussion about wills and probate. And, you know, there's another thing that I want to talk to you about. What if you don't have a will? Or what if you've made multiple wills or you don't know where the will is? So when we get back, we're going to talk about that. Welcome back to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. This is Neil Himmelstein, and you know where to reach me. And I'm here with Jennifer Kona, and we've just been having this great discussion about wills and probate. And right before the break, I asked Jennifer a question. What if you don't have a will? What happens?
If you don't have a will, then your assets will be governed by the laws of intestacy. So that means that your spouse, if you have one, will get $50,000 of your estate and the other one half. And then your children will split the other one half. And that includes even if your children are minors. So that's something that most people don't want to happen. And then the laws will go out and give the assets to parents. Then they'll look for siblings. Then they'll look for cousins. So it goes by this laws of intestacy. And again, as I mentioned, most people don't necessarily want that to happen. Like, let's say, for example, your parents have done all this asset protection planning, so they're not going to lose assets to the cost of their care, whether that's nursing home care or home care. All of a sudden, something happens to their child who dies without a will, and then they come into all of this money that they may now have to spend down. Not what anybody intended, but we've seen that happen. So it's really, really important that you control your own decisions, that you say what you want to happen with your assets. It's all about control, but it's also all about doing it in a timely fashion. So we've seen people kind of put their head in the sand. I'm not ever going to pass away, which is not true. We're all going to pass away. It's a matter of when. Right. Some people, maybe they're a little superstitious about it, or some people just simply wait until they have kind of a deathbed crisis, but then there's not enough time to get it done. And that happens a lot. That can be a really big problem because it is a process. There has to be a thought out process to draw up a will. It has to be reviewed, it has to be drafted first, then reviewed. It's a bit of a complex process because it isn't one size fits all, as you mentioned before. And often it doesn't get completed. So we all need to plan ahead for our estates. And it doesn't need to be a large estate. Right. We all have an estate. If you own a home, if you have bank accounts, no matter how small, no matter how large, you have some kind of estate and you want to see it go to whom you want to leave it to.
Right. And it can get very complicated. What if, you drawed up a will and everything else and you got divorced, but you have three kids and you got remarried, and then all of a sudden, maybe you have another kid with a new wife or something, and your will hasn't been updated. And then, or you never did a will, and all of a sudden, unexpectedly, you pass. What a mess does that create?
That can be a real mess. Blended families really need to take care of their estate planning for sure. Because, you know, in a typical situation like that, you want to leave it to your children, maybe from the first marriage, maybe your second husband came to the marriage with his own children. You know, these are complicated situations and they need to be well thought out. And again, that's another one size does not fit all. So you need to sit down.
And things change.
Absolutely. And things change for sure.
And how often does the law change?
Not all that often in that regard.
Well, I mean, it changes in different respects. So
sure.
It changes in look back periods. We had some,
oh, sure.
some law changes there, meaning, you know, look backs for nursing and this and that. The world is changing very quickly. Laws change. Our personal situations change. Our business changes. Our families change. And if we don't update things, it can get really messy.
Yes. The Medicaid laws change all the time. We've got a new home care law coming down the pike any day, possibly as soon as October 1st, with a look back period of 30 months. The power of attorney law changed
not
that long ago.
What does that mean, look back period 30? What are you talking about?
Okay, so for nursing home care, there's a look back of 5 years where you have to produce 5 years of records. And
that's to get on Medicaid, though, correct?
For nursing home care. And there was
correct.
Never a look back or a penalty period for home care. You could go on home care benefits right away. Now there's going to be a look back for home care, which is brand new in New York State. We don't know exactly when it's going to be implemented, but our best guess is...
So that means you have to pay out of your own pocket until you can get government assistance? Is that how that works?
If you've made asset transfers and things, which most people do, yes.
Right.
You're right.
And
or unless you can do some planning, some spousal planning, promissory note planning, very similar to what we do for institutional benefits.
Now, what would you estimate it costs to have somebody come in your home and help you with home care or caregiving a couple days a week and or nursing? What kind of costs do you feel that there are that you're witnessing?
Nursing home cost right now is on average $20,000 a month, I would say.
Wow.
And home care, depending on your hours and your needs, could be $8,000 a month.
So in other words, if you don't plan, now there's a couple ways of doing it. Yes, legally you want to plan for this. There's also insurance products you can plan, but mm-hmm. if you don't plan, expect to pay a ton of money.
A ton of money.
Which is going to deplete your assets, unless you're mega wealthy, and it still could deplete your assets quite a bit, towards your care that you're going to need.
Absolutely.
And I say you're going to need. The percentages of people that need care now is a very interesting because I know this from long-term care studies and everything else. It's now 70% over the age of 65 will need some sort of care. 70%, over 2 out of 3. Now, what I like to focus on is not just the people that need care, but who's taking care of those people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other 30% of us. So really 100% of us really have to be concerned about having care. Medical insurance doesn't cover that.
Correct.
So we have to either come out of it with our own pocket of mm-hmm. money. So we have to plan for it. And we don't know when this happens. And not only do we have to come out with our own pocket of money, okay, the emotional toll it takes on families and caregivers is tremendous. Even just being a caregiver, you might have to quit your job, give up expenses, and this and that. And one of the biggest areas of long-term care that people brushstroke it is mental and cognitive. It's not falling and breaking your hip. Most of the long-term care claims and most of the claims that you're deeply involved in, I know, and I'm now involved in, is due to mental cognitive issues and or Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
So as a long-term care insurance carrier, I can tell you over 50% of the claims are due to mental and cognitive issues. And when do those occur with people?
Well, those can occur. So we're talking about Alzheimer's, related forms of dementia. I do serve on the board of trustees of the Alzheimer's and Dementia Center in Westbury. Those can occur any, there's early onset, as early as someone in their 40s or 50s, or it could be 70s, 80s, 90s.
So if you're waiting to plan till you're 60 or you're getting ready to retire and, oh, I'm going to make this big plan, it could be much too late, correct?
It could be.
Yeah. So we advocate on planning early. So just because, and I'm getting back to my point, not just from a selfish standpoint, because I can get involved in long-term care, but from a planning point, you say, well, I don't need an elder care planning attorney. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Elder care isn't just for the elderly. It's for people to plan their future, not just their retirement and post-retirement, but it could be for pre-retirement, because I need to make sure that my assets are covered.
Yep, that they're protected.
That they're protected.
It's protecting assets for your older years, your older adult years. That is the gist of elder law and elder law planning. It's planning for those older years. So you don't wait until you are elderly, because right. then that your options are very narrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And too many people wait too late. It's an emergency situation. My husband's going into a nursing home. What do I do? Well, now is not the time to ask me, although I can help you. Just like if you knew your house was going to be on fire and you had a 70% chance, you'd insure it.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we talk about insurance. You have a 70% chance you want to insure that asset. You insure your house, you should insure yourself and take care of yourself by doing the right legal things and doing the right insurance things and meeting with both a financial professional and a great attorney firm at the same time. We can help you do that kind of planning. You're listening to the Main Street Code for Financial Success. I can be reached at 631-647-4694 or themainstreetcone.com. And Jennifer Kona, how can I reach you?
631-390-5000 or elderlawkonaelderlaw.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jennifer. Have a great day, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.